Welcome again. There have been some very interesting and encouraging things happening these last 6 or 7 weeks since the revelation of St. John. We've had reports from various people about their experiences, the ways in which the Spirit has manifested itself to them. And we know that there is a consciousness that is moving through us like a giant wave, touching everyone. It is shedding its light in our midst. It is lifting us. It is releasing us from the finite human capacities that we have all used. And wherever there is a consciousness that is opening, willing to release God from the finite human mind concept about God, the power of the Spirit is speaking loudly and boldly and liberating that individual. We have found, for example, in working with people who are paralyzed, that paralysis is not a condition of the body. Nor is it, as you might have suspected, a condition of that individual mind. Somehow, when the world mind is released as a power over that individual mind, and the individual mind drops its belief in a power other than God, then what had been a seeming physical condition dissolves. Let's put it this way. You can't move your arm. You simply cannot move it. And that is the thought in your mind. I cannot move my arm. Nothing in the world will convince you that that is a state of hypnosis until the thought that you cannot remove that arm is removed from your thought. And you find, I can move that arm. And nothing happened other than that a state of hypnosis was lifted. The hypnosis did not originate in your mind. The thought that you cannot move your arm did not originate in your mind. It was a world thought, subtly implanting itself in your mind. And this is what you must learn, that while you struggle with your mind to separate yourself from the world mind, you will not succeed. You say, well, you just said the thought wasn't mine, it was in the world mind. Then if I separate my mind from the world mind, I won't have that thought. Yes, that's logical to your mind. But what you must know is this, that your mind is the world mind, and you cannot separate one from the other. The Christ mind is the only mind. The Christ mind is divine mind individualized. Your mind, before it is Christed, is the world mind individualized. You might just as well try to separate the wave from the ocean as to separate your human mind from the world mind. And that is the trick of the world mind. It believes in paralysis. Its thought becomes its mind in you. And so the mind in you that says, I cannot move my arm, is the world mind. Individualized, disguised as your mind. And this is the human mind. the individualization of the world mind, that mind which is not the mind of God. And whenever there is an individual who steps out of that mind, not out of the thoughts in that mind, but out of that mind, then the thoughts of the world mind, working through its own mind in you, finds there's no mind in you to receive it. And the thought of "I cannot move my arm" simply isn't there, and you move that arm. And this is all done sometimes without even the person who has the paralysis participating. That person does nothing except says, "Help me." And if you are not touching that individual in any way, and they move their arm, all that has happened is that a belief has changed. A world belief, which had deposited itself in that individual, is no longer able to penetrate to the new mind, the Christ mind, in which there is no darkness. Now this then becomes a principle, not just for paralysis, but a principle to be applied to any form of evil in your life. There is no evil in the mind of God. There is no other mind. The mind of God individualizes as the Christ mind. And there is no evil in the Christ mind. And there is no other mind. That mind which perceives evil is nothing but the world mind functioning as your mind. And whatever form of evil you entertain in your mind is not in your personal mind. Your mind is the Christ mind. And your problem is that you are fooled into accepting another mind, which is not your mind. And when you recognize evil is telling you you're in the wrong mind, you won't waste your time trying to get in the corner and think it out and to reason your way out of a problem which you know cannot be there if God is there. You will simply take the evil, the problem, the error, the discord as a sign to you that you have strayed into the belief that the mind working through you is your mind. And it is not. The mind of the Father in you perceives no evil. Now, we had some evidences just this week of the mind that perceives no evil functioning in us. There was a little PG&E truck came down the street here the other day. The driver lost his brakes. Apparently he lost control of the car too. At any rate, he decided or was forced to jump, and he did. And that left the truck without a driver on a hill. Down at the bottom of the street, there were four or five men digging in a PG&E hole down there to install some lights for the street. And here was this truck bearing down on them without a driver. Well, they scrambled fast. Meanwhile, somebody yelled, "Get an ambulance," and they all got around this fellow who was flat on his back, out cold. And by this time, I was at the window, and I looked out. This man was cold, just out. And as I looked at him, he seemed to just shake all over and put his arms up as if to say, "What's happening to me?" And the people gathered around him, stood back, and suddenly he just got up. And so I was with someone at the time, and I went back into the room to say to this person, "This is what had happened," but I couldn't speak to that person. They were in meditation about it. And then I knew exactly why this driver got up. Somebody was busy knowing the truth about God. Somebody was busy, not in the world mind, but out of it. The driver had been in the world mind. It was normal for him to be knocked unconscious jumping from a leaping truck. And he did not know where he was until this individual, not accepting it, simply stood still, waiting upon that mind which was in Christ Jesus to reveal itself and its perfect universe. And so I was even late in getting back to tell this person what had happened. What was happening because of this silent, steadfast consciousness. And out there, a Chinese gentleman said, "You ought to see how this happened. He was out cold and then he suddenly just came to." It was the funniest thing. It certainly was. Now this is a very special class. I don't mean just today. I mean the group. You don't hear much from this platform about the healing work because it's sort of a tell no man. But we reached a place where at times we should know about these things. We should know that the things that are happening to us individually are spiritual experiences, that the Spirit has gone before us. We should know it isn't a fluke, a coincidence. We should know that a law is functioning in our being. And so I tell you about that one and a few others to let you know that the Spirit is giving us all the signs to say that we are moving in the right direction. There was a woman who called from Washington, or Seattle, I don't know, Seattle, Washington, yes. And her problem was that her son was about to be drafted, and at the same time, he had received a scholarship to study filmmaking in London. This was his great ambition. And here was the draft about to change all that so that he wouldn't be able to accept the scholarship. And so that's why she wanted spiritual assistance. Now the boy got to London and he started studying filmmaking, and the family spent every dollar they had just to send him there and to support him while he was learning. And then something went wrong in the draft setup. The doctor there sent a report about his foot, which was not in good condition, which should have exempted him, but the report never reached the draft board. Things got all mixed up, and so she needed more help. And the thought ran through my mind, if we work on this, his foot might get good, and then they'll draft him anyway. And so it was kind of a paradox. Then came another call from her that she had a letter from him. He was down in the dumps, pessimistic. He was talking out about things he shouldn't be talking out about. Everything was wrong. Until the other day, a letter came. And here's the peculiar way in which Spirit functioned here. First, a man from NBC in New York came through London, and they were running a contest with prizes among the London filmmaking studios, especially among the students, to generate encouragement to that group. And so this boy wrote his mother that he had entered, and he discovered that he had won one of the first three prizes, possibly the first, but he's not sure yet. And he'd won this award, which entitles him to a scholarship again, up to £500. And he's going to go to Germany now to study further. And that takes the sting off of their tight finances back in Washington. Also, draft exempt for another 6 months. Now, the interesting thing was that he was not only draft exempt, but that he won another scholarship. and that it happened by a man from New York passing through London, where he happened to be at this time. And it would indicate, he said, that they can set up actual facilities to service NBC from where they're going to open their new enterprise. This is a sort of a Cinderella story in every way. And then finally, from one of our students who's been deaf for many years, she writes a very joyous letter about all kinds of happy things happening, plus the noises, the sounds she's beginning to hear quite regularly after an adulthood of deafness. So you see, this is not an individual effort or a personal effort of anybody. As a matter of fact, there's a few of us who are working on these things, but it's the sign of the activity of spirit saying, you are moving in the direction which is the will of the Father. And I'm quite certain that any story you could hear from here, from this platform, can be matched by stories within your own experience. So what I'm saying to you today is, there seems to be quite enough evidence that our original purpose for the revelation, well, I have it here. Let's see what we said at the start. The purpose of this revelation here will be there is no more glorious demonstration on earth than the transformation from earth man to pure spirit. The first disciple of the Master to attain the goal of everlasting life was the beloved John, who passed from unbroken consciousness of Christ beyond death itself, leaving no physical form behind him. This translation into the kingdom of heaven on earth, where all things are made new, is the supreme goal of the human race in its quest to be ye perfect as your Father which is in heaven. And now, in the lost language of the soul, John will describe his translation as he is lifted from man of earth to Son of God in the first resurrection, which eliminates all possibilities of death. Now, that was how this class here was announced, you may recall. And even though the ultimate, the first resurrection, might have seemed to some to be out of reach, we are doubly assured that it is not only not out of reach, but it is very definitely the destiny of each one who follows the word of the Father. And some of these things mentioned would appear to be the signs along that direction. Now we have an opportunity today in the sixth letter to the Spirit of Christ in you to climb higher on the ladder of truth, of self-realization. This is a letter to the church in Philadelphia. Let's see it. To the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. Now let's see that Philadelphia here for us is going to mean wisdom, divine wisdom, individualized as the gift of every person on the earth, embodied in the seed of Christ, the Father within. Another word for divine wisdom would be omniscience. And another word would be divine thought. Divine thought is divine wisdom and is omniscience at work. This quality of the Father is also the quality of the Son, individualized in you, awaiting your acceptance of it. Now, if you were to multiply your intelligence by infinity, you would have that omniscience which already exists as part of your being. We living in, let's say, a 40 by 60 acreage piece of ground, but owning 5 million acres which we leave unused, would be quite silly. And yet, living in our personal individual intelligence, we're doing just that, living in our little 40 by 60, when we have infinite intelligence awaiting us just by the acceptance of it. Now that's the purpose of the letter to the angel of his presence in you, in the Church of Divine Wisdom, which is one of the seven gifts of God to each of us. Divine wisdom indwells you, and the purpose of this letter is to awaken you to its presence, its capacities, and the manner in which you can release it into your experience. These things saith he that is holy and that is true, he that hath the key of David. Christ Jesus, who traveled the seven gifts, becoming one with the Father in consciousness, demonstrated that Christ in consciousness is the only power. The truth of that was his resurrection. The truth of that was the power he demonstrated through Christ consciousness, one with Source. And that which is holy then is that which descends only from the Father. The power that descends only from the Father is holy. It is of God. It is divine. It is almighty. It is without opposite. It is true, meaning it is dependable. You can rely on it regardless of any circumstance. It has been proven in the fire. Christ Jesus, then, represents the pinnacle of Christ consciousness, which is the holiness and the truth that you can depend upon. Christ consciousness in you becomes your way to the infinite wisdom of the Father. Only through the Christ in you does the wisdom of the Father unfold. To the brain, to the natural human mind, to the world mind, which poses as the human mind, the wisdom of the Father does not enter. And we who live in the human mind, which is the world mind disguised, receive not the wisdom, the holy, the true. We receive the imitation. We are being awakened then to the imitation mind, which is not the one perfect mind, and which can never put forth the perfect manifestation of his presence. We are being lifted to that point in consciousness where our will be strengthened to seek only that mind which was in Christ Jesus, which could never be swayed by the false powers of the material world. We are being released from the personal sense of mind. We are being released from the limited human capacities. We are being open to the infinity of our own mental capacities through Christ. There is no other holy and no other true than Christ in you. That mind alone is the instrument of the Father. Only in that mind do you walk in the footsteps of the Father. He that hath the key of David is very interesting. The father of David was Jesse. Jesse means I am. I am has a son called David. David symbolizes love. Love is born of I am. I am infinite becomes love in human consciousness. David. And the key of David was his spiritual consciousness, his oneness with Source, particularly in his youth. And in that oneness with Source, he received divine wisdom. There's something else very interesting about the key of David. The key of David, you see, means Christ consciousness. Consciousness of the Christ within. And I was quite surprised to find this little bit in Luke. In looking back to Luke, this came up about the key of David. When Gabriel comes to Mary at the birth, behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. The throne of David, you see, is the same as the key of David. And that throne was Christ consciousness. And here, right at birth, Mary was told by Gabriel that her child would have Christ consciousness. The key, the throne of David. He that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. Now you see, Christ consciousness opens for you the wisdom of God, the power of God, the presence of God, the fullness of God. And once it has opened, there is no power on earth to stand in its way. Similarly, what you do not recognize in your consciousness cannot come into manifestation. And so what we're learning here is that your experience, your world, is that which you are conscious of. You live in your consciousness, and you experience your consciousness. It may seem that things happen outside of you, and then you experience them, but that is not what happens actually. What you experience is your consciousness externalized. Now, what we're being told here is that if you continue in the world mind, in the human mind, which seems to be your mind, then whatever you experience will be the world experience. But when you are capable of yielding your mind, your human sense of mind, and come into a measure of spiritual mind, then that spiritual consciousness, which recognizes the invisible wisdom of the Father, looses that wisdom into your experience. What your spiritual consciousness openeth, no man can shut. No power on this earth can prevent you from experiencing the reality of God if your spiritual mind is capable of becoming conscious of that reality. Nothing can stop it from manifesting. And by the same token, what you cannot become conscious of in the spiritual universe cannot manifest in your experience. Now that was said similarly in this passage in Matthew. It's the same passage as this which we have just read in Revelation. And you've heard it quite a number of times, but this is a good time for us to review it. This is Matthew's 17th chapter, and the 19th verse is a repetition of what we have just heard. I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. You see, the keys of the kingdom of heaven and the key of David, or Christ consciousness, are all one and the same. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. When you, through your transcendental consciousness, become aware of the Spirit present where you are, you are loosing from heaven. And then the soul pours forth its light, and no man can bind that. It is loosed by your soul. The one power will manifest and guide you. And whatever you cannot loose through consciousness on earth cannot be loosed from heaven. And so we're being told that if you're waiting for God to do something, you're making a mistake. God's work is finished. Completed. If you want the power of God in your life, if you want the spiritual body of God in your life, if you want to live in the kingdom of heaven on earth, it's up to you. All of the weapons have been provided, but you must make the change in consciousness. And you cannot do it at 10 in the morning and forget it the rest of the day, or do it on some spare afternoon. It is a lifetime work. This change of consciousness becomes the way in which we release ourselves from the limited capacities of the human mind and begin to express the unlimited capacities of the divine mind where we stand. The work is our work, not the work of the Father. And that work is accomplished by the enlightened consciousness, which becomes the bridge, the instrument through which divine wisdom flows. Your function is to provide that enlightened consciousness which surrenders to the will of the Father in you. Then no man can shut what you are loosing in your consciousness. No power on earth can oppose you successfully, because that which flows through your enlightened consciousness is the divine wisdom and power going before you, preparing the way. Your enlightened consciousness is the secret place of the Most High. And it is not an enlightened consciousness when you're living in the human mind. Now, if this letter doesn't rout you out of that human mind, you're still going to have a good deal of work to do, because that's what we're trying to do here in this letter. I know thy works, meaning divine mind in man. Christ Jesus knows the works of divine mind in man, the purpose of divine wisdom. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. The open door awaits every one of us, and that door takes us out of one place and leads us into another. Out of material consciousness, we walk through this open door into spiritual consciousness. Out of this earth, with its good and evil, we walk through this open door into heaven on earth. That open door is the I am of your being. I am the door. I am the way. Through the acceptance of I am in you, you walk through the door which has imprisoned man in a form of flesh, in a limited lifespan, in human mental, physical, and emotional capacities that are limited. Through this door that I have put before you, which is open, you may walk. And we have found there is a way to facilitate our walking through that door. It's a beautiful way. It's so simple that we've all overlooked it. And even after we discover it, we still continue to overlook it because of our mental inertia. When Jesus knew that he was to be crucified, there seemed to be that moment when he said, Father, why hast thou forsaken me? When he even wished this cup would be taken from him. But you must also remember he said, Nevertheless, Father, not my will, but thine. Yes, even the so-called appearance of death, if that be your will, fine. To this I surrender. And so the way we're going to walk through that door is, Father, nevertheless, not my will, but thine. The will of the Father takes you through the door into the acceptance of I am. Now I know every one of us here is anxious to do the will of the Father. I also know that every one of us here thinks we are doing our very best to do the will of the Father. And now we find that we can find an even better way to do that will. First of all, recognize that you have assumed you are doing the will of the Father. You know your heart is in the right place, your intentions are good. And sometimes we think that's enough. You even go further, you study hard. You meditate, you contemplate, you seek communion. What more can a person do? The more that you can do is to actually do the will of the Father without ceasing, without exceptions, without moments when surely what I'm doing is right and I hope the Father approves it. Because you will discover that if you're not doing the will of the Father, you're just moving through time and space with nothing being done whatsoever. The will of the Father is the only will that exists. There is no other. Whatever you are doing in your own will is not being done at all. It only appears to be. Nothing can be done except that which is the will of the Father. If what you are doing is not the will of the Father, you might just as well be painting images in the air, because they are not happening. This is the Father's universe. What the Father does not will to happen does not happen. There is no activity on this earth that is real if it is not the activity of the will of the Father. And that is why many of the activities that we have performed have not been sustained. They have not been the will of the Father. They have seemed to be real activities for a while, and then they crumbled. Only the will of the Father in you is reality. And what it does not ordain cannot be done incorrectly even. It simply cannot be done. You're just playing at charades if what you do is not the Father's will. We have wasted much of our lives that way, doing the things we thought were right, presuming that they would be thought of as right by the Father. And you get the shock of your life when you stop that and bring what you plan to do to the attention of the Father within. You'll be cut short in your tracks. The simplest things you want to do will not receive a positive go-ahead sign from within. My will in you cannot be done from your finite mind. There's nothing you can do in that finite human mind to do my will. For instance, suppose this were a peach, about 3 or 4 inches wide. And suppose that peach had a mind. Now the mind of the peach is the size of the peach, we'll say. And now let's say every point on that peach also has a mind. So here's this little point in the middle of the peach, and it has a mind, as well as the peach itself having a mind. Now how can that little point on the peach know where it is or what it is or how it is sustained? It only knows that I am here. It is a finite mind. And so it would never identify itself as being in a peach or being fed by a peach. It wouldn't know anything about the processes that brought its food. It would be limited to where it is. Now that little finite mind of a point on the peach is where we are as human beings. And the peach, the wholeness of the peach, having its own mind, it naturally can do a better job of sustaining every point on it than the point can itself. We are being taught to release this finite human mind, which is the equivalent of a point on a peach, and to let the fullness of the divine infinite self run its universe right where we stand. We are going to be lifted into that confidence and trust which will permit us to say, I'm not going to run God's universe. Even right where my form is, I'm going to let God run his universe right here. Why? Because that infinite mind is within me. And it knows how to live itself where I stand. I am attuned to the infinite and have ever been. And when I enter into a finite human mind, that is when I break that infinite attunement. I don't have to establish it. I have to stop obscuring it. It already is. Divine intelligence in you already is. Everything divine in you already is. But the point on the peach doesn't know it. The finite human mind doesn't know it. And so it spends all its time seeking and knocking and asking for that which it could have learned to accept if it would have stepped out of the way and let the infinite wisdom reveal itself on the place whereon thou standest. This is the key of David. The realization that I am. And that I walk through the door of I am only when I resolve within myself that the will of the Father in me is the only will to which I will yield. I will that thy will be done in me. And you will find that your willingness is not a random phrase or attitude, but a minute-by-minute alertness to the will of the Father in you. And then you see your will becomes like a needle with a little eye in it. And then the Father's will comes through the needle, through the needle eye, like a substance, like a thread, and threads the needle of your will, so that your will now moves forth as the will of the Father, with substance. Whereas before, your human will had no substance. The needle wasn't threaded, and whatever you did lacked the yarn to weave in His name. Now you speak with tongues. Your will is His will. They are one will. And don't take it for granted that you're in His will or not in His will. Double check it frequently. And you'll discover this is how you come into the rhythm of the divine will. The simplest way to know His will is to turn within in the silence and say, Father, what is thy will? It's a beautiful experience. Father, what is thy will? I was just going to take a vacation. What is thy will? Father, I was going to take a new job. What is thy will? Father, I was going to do this or do that or do the other thing. What is thy will? And on little things, you'll find that your whole day's schedule is set up according to your will. This for convenience, this for convenience, this for convenience. It's your convenience. You have presumed it was all right with the Father, but you don't know. You have accepted a temporary good. You may have sacrificed a permanent good by accepting a temporary one. And lo and behold, you submit your schedule to the Father. And you're quite surprised when it's shuffled around. But it doesn't make sense. This would be better at this time and this at that time, says the finite point on the peach. And the peach says, maybe you think so, but I have a better idea. Something you don't know about. The infinite wisdom begins to show itself as being infinitely smarter than the finite human mind. And then when you are doing what it directs, the wisdom of it becomes apparent to you. The surprises of the things you had been shutting out of your life because everything you did depended upon what your finite mind thought now becomes very clear to you. You have been operating mechanically when grace was waiting to teach you its way. Now then, my will in you must be done. You have no choice. The only choice you have to do is to go out and not do that will, and you'll discover quickly you haven't hurt the Father. You've hurt the finite form and the finite life. But I have set before thee a door And if you will walk in my will, you will walk through the door. That door is heaven on earth, on the other side of it. And only through my will do you walk in heaven on earth. Now, when you submit to that will, and it changes your schedule, your plan, your direction, and you do it willingly, lovingly, gratefully, you will discover the wisdom of it very quickly, in many, many ways. And it will be a habit so powerful, so rewarding, that you will stand in that will before you do anything, anytime, until all that you are doing on this earth is the will of the Father. Other wills, other persons' wills, even your own will sort of come to you demanding you do this, that, and the other thing. But they will hit the consciousness, no. I am responsive to one will alone, the will of my Father in me. I don't have to explain to anyone what I am doing. I don't have to make apologies to anyone. My responsibility is to be responsive to thy will, Father, in me. Thy will be done. And whoever seeks to force you into a will which is not the will of the Father will hit the consciousness in you which says, I respond only to the will of the Father in me. It is that simple. And now think for a moment as you walk responding only to the will of the Father in you. Who can oppose the will of God? Where the will of the Father is, the power of the Father is fulfilling itself. He performeth that which is given me to do. The will is backed by the infinity of God. Who can oppose it? He perfecteth that which concerneth me. If it's God's project in you, it is already completed in the Spirit. And it's just a matter of human time before it manifests in the flesh. I go before thee to make the crooked places straight. I prepare a table for thee in the wilderness. I, because you are in my will, abiding in my will, my way, my purpose, I take thee into paradise. In this manner, your every action is ordained. And that's why it bears fruitage. That's why your activities prosper. They are graced by the power behind the will of the Father in you. Mental inertia will prevent you from following this plan. And the mental inertia will come from the world mind. And there must be then that resolution of strengthening the will. Because when you wish to change the will, you will discover that is the way to change the consciousness. That will which is willing to yield to the fine divine will within becomes the Christed consciousness. The key of David realized. And it walks in the light of God. This is how we become children of the light instead of the darkness. We step out of our own individual human wills into the will of the Father. I am the way. As you dwell in the will of the Father, thus developing the Christ mind. Through that Christ mind comes the infinite wisdom, the omniscience. and you find you are and always have been the representative of God on this earth. Each of us, through the Father within, through the will of the Father within, through the wisdom of the Father within, become the representative of the infinite consciousness of God on earth. Unopposed. No man can shut that which is opened for you by the will of the Father within. Now, although it is suggested that you merely rest in silence and say, "Father, what is thy will?" frequently, you may find other ways. You're not limited to just my suggestions. The important part is to know that there is a divine will in you. And it is the will of the Father that you be perfect. It is the will of the Father that you leave your nets, your human sense of values. It is the will of the Father that you walk in the light of being. It is the will of the Father that you be reborn to Christ within. And the will of the Father will not return void. Only in the will are you in the rhythm of the perfect infinite expression of God in you. Now that should be your stabilizer. The moment you are in that will, consciously, there's no power on this earth to stand in front of you and forbid you to fulfill that will. For the power of the Spirit goes before you as the living presence of everyone you meet. All become partners with you without realizing how or why. All harmonize with you. All become part of the infinite spiritual plan where the will of the Father in you is directing the way. And this is divine wisdom. I have set before thee an open door. No man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength and hast kept my word and hast not denied my name. Wisdom in you is permanent. It'll always be there. It is divine. No matter what your human mind may have done in the form of transgressions or trespasses, the wisdom of God in you is still permanently there awaiting recognition. Nothing can move it out. It wouldn't matter what you had done or when. Nothing can change the perfect wisdom of God that is in you, awaiting your conscious recognition of it. Behold, I will make them of the synagogues of Satan, which say they are Jews. And we remember this from back in one of the earlier letters about Jezebel, her self-will, her self-indulgence. The synagogues of Satan, then, are our own self-will. And when we say we are Jews but are not, it means that we're in our own self-will, our own self-righteousness, but not in the will of the Father within. Those who are in the will of the Father within are called mine elect, the Israelite, the 12 tribes of Israel. And whoever walks in the will of the Father is a member of the 12 tribes of Israel. It has nothing to do with his nationality or religion or age or color. Whoever walks in the will of the Father, in Bible terms, is an Israelite, one elected for Christ consciousness. Referring to those who are the synagogues of Satan, who say they are Jews and are not, but do lie, behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. This is talking to divine wisdom in you, so that no matter how your mind may have strayed into self-will, the inevitability of all of your mental attitudes being brought back to worship at the feet of divine wisdom is here stated. There is no one on the face of the earth who can permanently deny the presence of divine wisdom within. All must kneel to the Father's will, and the sooner the better. The word of the Father can never return void. You might say we are protected from ourselves. Such is the love of the Father that no man can permanently stray from the Father.